Let's turn now to a story that we were talking about, another story we were talking about earlier. The decision of Facebook to make Flash up on your news feed. It may not have come yet, but it will come, we're told, in the next few days. Something that guides you how to spot what they call false news. They say that they are empowering users to try and identify what they should believe and what they shouldn't. Well, what should we make of that, and does it go far enough? We're joined by a tech writer, Kate Bevan, and also by Alex Krasodonsky, who is a researcher at the Center for Analysis of Social Media at Devos. Morning.
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 First of all, Kate Bevan, what do you make of what you've seen so far?
I think it's a really good start. I mean, there's obviously an enormous problem with the way information is propagated on Facebook and how it reinforces itself with the algorithms and the bubble that it creates. But it is an absolutely enormous task. And the question you can ask yourself, is it actually down to Facebook to try and stop this? And is this the right measure? It's a really good start, but is it the right measure?
In the end, though, it is, isn't it, Alex, saying to the user, you deal with false news because we don't much want to ourselves.
Absolutely. It relies on crowdsourcing tips, you know, spotting fake news, false news, whatever it might be, but without giving the power to do anything about it beyond reporting it to that user. We can look at other places on the internet, like, for instance, Wikipedia, where users have a great deal of editorial control, which is not the same on Facebook.
Now, in this, just to explain to people what is done, Kate, if you spot a bit of false news, they prefer that term to fake news, you can report it, and if enough people report it, Facebook don't take it down. What do they do?
I think then they then flag up to you that it's a disputed piece of news. I mean, I think also we have to distinguish between define what we mean by fake news and false news. As Alex and I were talking about just earlier, there's a difference between something, for example, that's done maliciously, if you like, with the intent of disrupting, say, an election or an opinion, and something that's done in a way that's like a meme from an anti-vaxxer, for example, which is designed to
spread
from somebody who doesn't believe in vaccination, believes that that vaccination causes diseases, which of course is not true at all, and that's designed to sort of disrupt opinion. Whereas I think what we're calling fake news, false news, is designed to make money and to be even more disruptive than that.
What is it, Alex, that makes not just Facebook but other social media firms so nervous about doing what the BBC does, about doing what a newspaper would do, which is actually selecting things using editorial judgment?
I think it just for the model of these social media platforms, their great success has been to basically create a beast that they can't possibly tame. When we talk about 10 billion pieces of content uploaded to Facebook every day, the model is something from a very, you know, it's a very new and revolutionary thing when it comes to sort of producing content. You know, the BBC, every newspaper that's being published, they know, broadly speaking, everything that is in an issue or on the website in a certain day. The same is absolutely not the case for Facebook.
There is a debate, isn't there, Kate, about how you should see these companies. Do you see them as tech firms? Do you treat them as the former Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, Maria Miller, was telling us earlier, as advertising companies? Or do you see them as media companies? Why does that debate matter?
They're all of those. I mean, it matters because we invest publishers both with authority and with responsibility.
Legal responsibility.
Yes, exactly. As well as a kind of moral responsibility, you know, not to put complete rubbish on their platforms, amid their pages. So what Facebook, I think, is trying to avoid doing is having that responsibility, particularly that moral responsibility, although it's belatedly acknowledging it. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Facebook is an accidental publisher. It started off as a way to leer at young women in a university, and suddenly it's become this massive, massive opinion-moving platform. And that's very much unexpected, I think, for Facebook.
There's a big difference between feeling like you have responsibility and actually having that responsibility. And I think that's the difference with Facebook.
Are they reacting in part to this threat of laws? In Germany, we've seen particularly a threat of quite big fines, Kate.
€50 million, yes. Absolutely. I mean, large fines do concentrate the minds wonderfully. I mean, we're seeing large fines coming with data protection changes next year, for example. And it changes the risk management of how you respond to these things. If your risk is low, whether it's reputational or financial, you tend to be more prepared to take the risks and more laissez-faire about things. But when suddenly you've got, we might be charged €50 million if we don't take this down fast enough, it does focus the mind dramatically.
And Demos, of course, tries to influence the way in which politicians and others think. Do you think there will now be calls for just regulation on the model that an advertising firm or a media firm would face for all these social media companies?
I do. I think that's possible, but we have to. But it talks to another problem facing Facebook in that it has the same content potentially available in the UK, in the States, in Germany, and basically, and yet also in Turkey and Iran. You know, it's delivering across a huge number of different states.
OK, thank you both, Kate Bevan and Alex Krasnodonsky of Demos. Thank you very much for joining us.